Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty, hosted by Jodi Katz, founder and creative director of Base Beauty Creative Agency.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Where Brains Meet Beauty. And hello to Eleni, our VP Client Success at Base Beauty.
Hi, everyone.
So this is a really monumental episode. We are celebrating number 300. And Eleni has been with me right from the beginning, even before there was episode one, when I turned to her and I said, can you Google how to build a podcast?
Such a fun story. I actually never get tired of telling that fun fact to people who hear the show now and probably can't even envision back in that day when we were totally making up how we do everything that we do today with such ease, thanks to Natasha. But it's been eight years of conversations, career journeys, big emotions, big ideas, and a lot of laughter and fun moments in between. It really feels very special and surreal to be celebrating this 300th milestone.
I love that. It caps off the season, right? It's the last episode of the entire year. Then we enter our ninth year of podcast reporting with 301. So it just feels really cool. And I love, you know, the zero zeros. Like, I think it's really exciting.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay. So to be sitting here with you, Eleni, someone who's been part of the show in so many ways, it's such a thrill. You've had basically every job at the agency in the 10 plus years that you've worked here. But doing this with you is like such a joy. And, you know, it's our little baby.
Yeah. This has been a lot of fun being behind the scenes, scheduling the guests, editing the episodes, writing the scripts. It's a lot of fun.
So Eleni, little love letter to you. You've helped shape the voice and rhythm of this podcast from, like I said, the very start. And we've had so many incredible people in that 300 episodes. It's actually more than 300 people because some episodes, many episodes have two people now.
Yeah.
So we've met founders, CEOs, scientists, artists, creators, and, you know, we even had a real housewife, Gina Kirchensteiner, on episode 211. And for anyone who knows me, knows I love The Real Housewives. So Gina was on our show to actually celebrate another milestone when we launched our book.
It's an amazing story that there have been so many guests on the show who are like big, big names, people that everyone recognizes. And the fact that you have had conversations with all of them and like can often send these people a text is amazing and incredible and such a really cool way of how this started from an idea of you wanting to create human connections in the industry. And now there are over 300.
I mean, the whole show really started with me feeling kind of lonely, you know, in my head. And now we've built this amazing community, like you said, of people who we can see and meet up with and text and have great conversations with and really be part of our world, which is kind of amazing that we were able to do this just one episode at a time.
Yeah, absolutely. And we are celebrating today with two incredible guests who embody the creativity, the hustle, and the honesty that this show is all about. We have celebrity hairstylist and makeup artist Sarai Martinez and influencer and UGC creator Tanya Grover.
Oh, this is such a nice episode. Together, they get into the realities of building multi-layered careers, juggling schedules, answering DMs on the subway, managing clients, and trying not to lose control of the content they care deeply about. It's a real look at the pressure to post, the value consistency, and the constant dance between creativity and burnout.
Yeah. They also talked a lot about the power of community, the collaborations, the networking, finding the right people, and knowing when it's time to bring help onto your team, whether it's an assistant, an editor, or just someone who's going to help you breathe throughout the day. They make it really clear that no one grows alone.
It's celebratory, it's honest, it's packed with wisdom, and it's the perfect conversation for our 300th milestone.
Yay. Okay, let's dive into episode 300 with Sarai Martinez and Tanya Grover. And thank you to our community of listeners for being here for this moment with us.
Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty. I am sitting with Sarai Martinez, celebrity hairstylist and makeup artist, Sarai by day, and Tanya Grover, influencer and UGC creator. Welcome to Where Brains Meet Beauty, ladies. Yay! So this is a very special moment, and we have a bunch of friends in the room to celebrate with us. This is our 300th episode. You are a milestone. We started the show 8 years ago. Because I really needed the free therapy and free business coaching that the show provides. And I'm so excited to jump into a conversation with both of you.
Thank you so much for having us.
So, Tanya, this is your first podcast ever.
Yes, it is.
So welcome to the world of podcasting.
Yeah.
Yay! Sarai's done this a million times before. And I just want to set the tone since it's our 300th episode. This show is all about bringing people together. We're not robots, right? We're just people who love this industry, and amplifying the stories behind these people is so important to humanize the industry. So thank you for being a part of this. We're going to have a really fun conversation.
Thank you.
So let's get started. And Sarai, we'll start with you. This is a career journey show, and so much about like what we do now, we dream up when we're kids. So when you're like 10, 11 years old, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I wanted to be a hairstylist.
Yes!
I just didn't start off there initially. My dad, I come from a Hispanic home. My dad didn't really want me to go into hairstyling. I actually did a whole project on being a hairstylist in sixth grade. They made us draft up our income. It was like $50,000 a year. I'm like, I don't know. My dad's like, no, you're not doing that. So I actually did like a curveball and I went into fashion design because that's my other passion. I'm very artsy. I love painting and I'm creating and I love that aspect of my life. And then when I came back home because I studied in Canada, I decided to go into hairstyling and that just kind of took off into its own realm. So I ended up doing that field anyway.
It's very unusual that somebody sits in this chair on the show in 300 episodes and fulfills that childhood dream. Yeah. Oftentimes, it's more, much more of a zigzaggy journey.
Right.
How does it feel to know that you actually made your little kid dream come true?
It feels wonderful. I think tuning into that little girl of myself, I kind of always knew. I always played with dolls until I was like 13 years old. I would always just do their hair and I was just very passionate about it. And if my sister was here, she would, you know, elaborate on that because I was very like in my room always just doing my own creative thing. But I loved doing that and it's just something that was always within me and I'm very happy about that. But it did take some time to get there for my dream job.
Well, we're going to follow that journey in a few minutes. Tanya, let's take this question to you. You're a little kid, 10, 11 years old. What's that dream?
My dream was actually to become a dentist, which you don't really hear a lot from kids because they're always scared of the dentist. Yeah. But for me, I have a family friend and I grew up with him and he was a dentist. And I was so inspired by him. I always said like, yeah, I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be a dentist. And then when I was in college and I started that, I was like, I quickly realized this is not for me. So I took some points and like you said, zigzagging. And it took me a while to actually figure out where I'm going to end up. But right now I work in tech and it's very different than what I planned. And it's also very different than what I do as a freelance content creator as well.
So Tanya, you took this dream through to college, right? You were ready to become a dentist.
Yes, I was.
What made you realize it wasn't for you?
When COVID hit, it was just really hard to study everything that you had to do online. And it made me realize that I don't know if I can do it virtually because in 2020, we didn't know how long COVID was going to last. So it was really hard to try to make a career in medicine while trying to learn it virtually.
And with this sort of unfulfilled yearning, is there still a part of you who wants to be a dentist?
Definitely there still is, but I'm very happy in the place that I am right now in life. And I never saw this happening. So it's very interesting to see how 10-year-old's dream turned into reality now.
So the theme this episode is artistry and influencer, the wisdom behind the craft. And Sarai, you said like, you know, it took a while to get to the dream. What was the dream in your mind, like at like 22 years old, of what being a stylist meant?
Well, at 22 years old, you really don't have that much high dreams. But I mean, I guess I kind of had a reality check of what that dream was about. I had several of jobs that I had to support myself with before I can create this dream job. I didn't realize that I would have to assist for a long time and kind of be mentored into just being, you know, a person in a salon space, especially an established salon with, you know, higher end clients. I think it was a lot of, you know, learning and navigating before I can actually tap into that dream, which, you know, it took me several of years. It even took me a break to kind of step away from that vision and then coming back to it and then coming at full force.
So take us a little bit on the stepping stones. Like, what salons were you at? What made them high profile? And then why take a break?
So I worked at Dilawri and Kenmore and on Newbury Street, which is kind of like the Madison Ave of Boston. And those salons, you get to go through their training, but you would have to be assisting and going through their training. So you have to kind of go through that process first to get that training. So I had to tough that out, even if it was $10 an hour. And then I would work a graveyard shift at Mass General Hospital just to kind of, you know, compensate the income that I had going. So that was the first steps that I did towards that dream.
And what was the break and why did you take it?
Well, I got married really young. I had kids and I started doing, I have a business degree. I kind of did a loophole with that. And then I ended up doing some insurance work and my sister ended up helping me with that gig. And then I did that for a while because that was paying for the bills. So then I just took a break because I felt like I wasn't getting like anything from the dream job and you get discouraged, right? So then you have people in that field discouraging you too. Mm-hmm. Like you have the seniors, the pillars that are doing the Patriot cheerleaders and whatever that's coming through their door and then treating you like, you know, you're nothing. That kind of puts a damper on things and it kind of just makes you kind of discouraged on wanting to do what you're doing. You're like, why am I here? So then I took a break. I took like a 3 to 5 year break. And then I got divorced happily. And then it kind of enlightened me back into my dream. And then I was fortunate to have a great boss in the insurance company that kind of was like, hey, why don't you work from home and try to see if you can get back into, you know, doing hair, and then everything kind of just took off from there.
Well, we're going to come back to you on that point. This sounds like a really interesting story. Tanya, you said you have a full-time job right now in tech, and the creator work is, I guess, an after-hours pursuit. So let's talk a little bit about how does one do this, right? Because creating content is this high-volume program.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about like how a typical week plays out.
Sure. So I would say that every week is different. So every day is also very different as a creator. So I love doing the series on social media, saying my 5 to 9 after my 9 to 5. And I'm very lucky that I work in a tech startup where my hours are very lenient. So I have a lot of flexibility, which helps me a lot, especially with running around during the day for influencer events or collaborations. And I absolutely love that. Tech was not something that I even wanted to get into, but I have a family who is very into tech and they were like, hey, how about you pivot into this? And I'm like, okay, let's explore this a little bit more.
How interesting that you're both sitting next to each other and you like insurance and technology, very different than beauty, right? But you both chose like there was a need for this stability at a certain point. Is there like a process where you have to kind of like talk yourself through like, why am I doing this insurance tech thing when really where my heart is somewhere else? So Sarai, like, did you have these moments where you're like, what is going on? Like, am I ever going to get there?
I've had those moments pretty much my whole life. I don't think people talk about this enough. Things don't just magically happen. You literally have to believe in yourself. And I literally just had this conversation with my friend in the car on our way here. You have to literally believe in yourself because it's a constant coaching through yourself and anything can kind of gear you off. If you don't believe in your dream, the dream is not going to succeed. Mm-hmm. But obviously, there has been a lot of sacrifice, and those jobs actually came into my life in the perfect timing to support me in that specific time in my life to gear me up to the dream. But you have to kind of build it at the same time while you're supporting yourself.
So, Tanya, you're right in it, right?
Yes.
Are there days where you're like, ugh, a tech job? Like, why am I not spending my whole day on influencer trips and right at these industry events?
I definitely do have those days. And it's very funny because most of my friends, when they first meet me, they're like, what? You have a full-time job also? There's absolutely no way that you're able to do that. But there are days when I get almost no sleep because I'm doing my 5 to 9, then my 9 to 5. And you know how 5 to 9 and 9 to 5 goes. It's just sometimes it lasts like 17 hours. Mm-hmm. Like I have such long days where I am like so overwhelmed. But at the end of the day, I definitely feel like it helps me almost lead like a more normal life, especially because I have a whole other side with my parents and my family. And for that, they don't fully understand what being an influencer is or what doing social media is. So I like having that somewhat normal side of me also that I can also talk about at family dinners or events, etc.
So Jess Martinez is in the room. She was episode 296, if you're interested. And hi, Jess. She said something earlier that really stuck with me. So I'm going to paraphrase for you, Jess. She has a full-time job, and having the full-time job outside of creating, being a creator and an influencer, gives her permission to really like know that her rent is paid, right? That there's food on the table, and that she can be more selective about what deals she walks into, right? So she actually creates for herself like freedom and control. And I thought that was fascinating. I never really thought about it from that perspective. It was like more like, oh my God, you have to work so hard and then you have to work so hard again. But there's actually maybe a freedom definitely in this path that you're on right now. Have you ever like thought about this on your own?
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with Jess. And Jess is actually one of my friends. So hey, Jess. I definitely do agree with that, because there was a point right out of college where I was a full-time influencer, and it was very scary. It was definitely a reality check that I did not want to do this full time as of right now. Mm-hmm. And maybe at some point in the future I would want to, but I'm very happy with, you know, leading a Hannah Montana life.
Love that. So Sarai, let's get back into this journey. You know, you're an accomplished artist, right? How did you actually get out from this, like the stability that you needed from the insurance business into like really making the dream come true?
So I started aligning myself with different people. I started networking a lot. And I at that time, I was still working from home. And then as I started building more repertoire, more clients, I started slowly migrating out of my 9-to-5 into my dream job. And it just kind of happens. And you don't really know when the cutoff is, but you start to get this feeling of being overwhelmed. And then you start saying, oh, well, you know, I'm making enough to support myself. It's, you know, not the greatest, but you get to a point where you're making enough to support yourself, where you can slowly let go of that security blanket and then kind of just focus on one thing.
As an artist, what are some of the creations and moments that you've worked on that you're like, when you go to bed at night, you're glowing still?
I think my happy moments of success would be like when I do a really prestigious shoot, mm-hmm, and it's like, you know, a very high caliber client, and I feel really proud of my work and everyone is just proud of my work, and that kind of just highlights what I do.
So when you're an artist and a stylist, you are hired for your talent. And you can be on set with, you know, a high-profile brand and high-profile talent in front of the camera, high-profile talent behind the camera. And the people in the room might not agree with the direction you took the work.
Right.
Right? So how do you defend your work?
So it's not really defending my work, I would say. I think it's kind of working aligns the vision of the brand, because it's really not about me. Mm-hmm. And you gotta have to take your ego and your thought process behind out of it. And you'll find yourself in those situations a lot of times where, you know, whether it's the creative director, whether it's the producer, where they don't not necessarily like your work, but they're going in a different direction. And, you know, you just kind of have to align yourself with them, and then you'll get on the same page and you'll feel fine and everything's fine and everyone's working fine and everyone's happy.
Why don't you get to be a diva about it?
I would love to be a diva. I would love to be a diva. I try not to be a diva. I've worked with many divas, mm-hmm, and I've always told myself I like to not be a diva, mm-hmm, because it's not pleasurable. It's not a great environment. Mm-hmm. No one likes being around divas. No one likes to rehire divas. Mm-hmm. So I've always told myself I try to keep myself at a humble place where I don't become that.
When the people around you on a shoot are acting in a way that is not like the teamwork that you're speaking of, how would you teach an assistant to navigate those behaviors? Because they happen more often than not.
They do happen more often than not, and you're dealing with constant different personalities, and you're not going to literally get along with everyone. There's always going to be someone that has an issue with you, mm-hmm. and you really can't take that personally, because I feel like in our business, it's really easy to take it home and to dwell on it for a few days, and I'm guilty of that. I'm always, you know, hard on myself. Oh, did they like me? Or, oh, are they going to rehire me? It's a constant feeling that we feel, and I don't think people talk about it enough in this business. We're constantly hard on ourselves, whether it's stylists, makeup artists, models, so forth. We are constantly trying to people please. And it's just like either you like the work or you don't, and you just walk away just knowing that you gave it your best and you just got to move forward, or it's just going to just kill you inside.
Okay, I want to come back to that because that's like the pep talk I need today. Tanya, like, let's talk about the moment you walked into this creator world where all of a sudden you're like, oh, this is successful. Walk us through what was happening in your life then.
I was actually got into content when I was in high school. So it was my senior year of high school. And I grew up being a dancer. So I was just posting my silly little fun dance videos on Instagram. And then suddenly I started getting DMs from brands. And I was like, this has to be a scam. How is this possibly real that you want to send me something for free, right? And then throughout college, I started getting brand ambassador positions on campus, which paid pretty well. And being a broke college student, that's exactly what you need. Along with paid brand deals, I got into amazing internships because of my content creation skills. And suddenly it clicked. It was probably my freshman or sophomore year of college. And I was like, wait, this is actually an amazing like side hustle, if not main career, but a side hustle. Like, I love this. And the judgment, especially in college, was insane.
You mean from your peers?
Yes.
Okay, so your peers are looking down their nose at you for being a creator?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so taboo that you're posting yourself on social media so much, at least like 4 or 5 years ago it was. Mm-hmm. And they were like, what is she doing? You know, the typical, you're starting to become a creator and people are making fun of you. I am someone who cannot care less about that. And I just kept on having tunnel vision. And I realized, I'm like, this is actually a great thing to do. So
if you think, do you think that if you were a college student today, would your peers be like, that's lame? Or do you think that they'd be like, oh my God, I want in?
They would definitely not think it's lame, mm-hmm. because I know so many college students who have inspired to start doing this, and no one is really making those comments anymore, mm-hmm. because doing social media is such a normal in our lives, mm-hmm. now. So I love that. That is something that I truly love seeing, that everyone is more supportive and people are not hating as much, because it was definitely not like that a few years ago.
So what was the moment where you're like, oh, I'm good at this and this actually moves the needle?
I would say getting my first internship through content, mm-hmm. which was my freshman year of college. I was like, okay, this can definitely turn into something.
So that's interesting. We had someone on the show earlier who is a creator and also has a full-time job in marketing and a brand. So what you're saying is like being a creator actually was resume building for you to get a corporate job.
Yeah, absolutely. It definitely opens up a lot more doors for you. And it's funny because I would love to work in a beauty brand or a fashion brand for marketing. But like I said, I'm like, tech is what I'm doing right now, which I also do love. So yeah.
So Sarai, let's talk about being an artist, but then also being an influencer, right? So through the years, we'd see stylists, makeup artists on social, like making amazing content. And then when we think about like how they spend their time, they can't be on set or they can't be behind the chair. There's no time for both, right?
Right.
I feel like the pressures have increased. So do you think of yourself as an influencer more or more an artist or like a half and half?
I think I'm more on the half and half. And I actually stumbled on that influencer title because I kind of do it naturally. Mm-hmm. It's something that comes within me. And, you know, if you know me personally, I have a very bubbly, high animated personality. So it's something that just translates in my post and who I am. And it's something that I literally stumbled across. And then I noticed it responding. I noticed people wanted to know what I was doing. you know, people are like, oh my God, what are you doing? And that's how my name actually came about, Sarai by Day, because I'm like, what am I doing today? People gave me that name. Social media gave me that name. So it's something that I stumbled across on, and I can be myself and I can post my creative side, and just it allows me to release.
So is the content that performs the highest for you, like the behind the scenes of being on set or behind the chair?
Yes. Behind the scenes definitely is high performance. My stories, people love seeing my stories. And again, like, you know, anything that I post personally, you know, people enjoy that. Lately, I haven't been. I've just been kind of posting work, but, you know.
So when you're on a shoot, we have like embargo issues, right? Like the content might not launch for some time that you're capturing. How do you, you know, for all the artists out there, how do you actually track? I shot this on Tuesday. I can't actually launch it for like 6 weeks. Like, what is your process internally for making sure you don't interfere in any embargoes?
Oh my God. I shoot like right when it's hot. I don't wait 6 weeks. I'm kind of like, I try to get it out as soon as possible. We were having lunch and I got it out as much as I could. Because it's like, if you don't do it, you kind of forget it. So it's like, I try to get it as much as I can.
So when you're
as possible,
when you're behind the scenes at a shoot for a brand and that brand's campaign isn't launching for a while, you're able to capture content that doesn't get in the way of the
embargo? So there's tricks behind that.
Okay, so tell us the
tricks. So you really can't post the, you know, the garments, whether you can't post the product. So you can kind of just post the cast. You, if there's an NDA, you can just literally post yourself, but then you can post the company that you're working with. There's just kind of things that you can work around where you're not compromising yourself.
And at this point in your career, do you need managers to help you navigate like all of this process and the systems?
At this moment, no. I've been kind of doing it myself. There will be a time where I'm going to need, you know, someone behind the scenes doing it for me. But at this moment, I've been doing it myself and I've been managing well. So, you know, it's just all your time delegation and how you want to use it.
So Tanya, let's talk about what goes on behind the scenes, the DMs, the comments, the brand requests, the brand seedings, and the full-time job. What is, how are you in the 9-5 to 9, how are you allocating your time? What is your philosophy on responding to comments and DMs? And what do you wish you had more time to do?
I would say that for me, I like to wake up really early and get a lot of filming done. I do a lot of responding in the morning before my 9 to 5 starts.
So what time is this? Like what time is early?
Sometimes like 5, 6 a.m. Okay. Are you, that's pretty normal for me.
Are you setting an alarm for that, or you're just waking up at that time?
I just got back from Paris. So right now, because of jet lag, I'm waking up very naturally at 5, 6 a.m., which I love. But otherwise, alarms, yes. And I'm not a morning person. I must add that.
So. Okay. So you're making a effort to say, I'm going to wake up at 5 or 6 in the morning to dedicate how many hours to responding?
As much as I need, honestly. Emails can pile up, DMs can pile up, and I absolutely hate that because I'm very type A. So I will take that time to go to the gym. I'll be responding to stuff while like on my runs or like on my like 12:30, and then
Wait, as you're running, you're
not so much running, not so much running, but I will be walking, doing my 12:30 on the treadmill, and I'll be responding to emails or comments or DMs, etc., because I love multitasking.
Okay. Is that a safe time to multitask?
Definitely. Okay. With enough pre-workout, it definitely is. Okay. then lunch breaks, I obviously love to catch up on filming or responding then. And then I think that a really big thing that people don't utilize enough is their commute. So subways, trains, whatever. Using that time to respond to comments, especially. That's what I like to do. I like to play a cute little song in the background and just be responding to all my comments.
What you're describing to me sounds like the high school student or the college student who uses like all of those like extra minutes at the end of class to get the work done, or the study hall to get the work done and not to just chit chat, and like lunch period to get the work done and not chit chat. Is that the kind of student you were when you were younger?
No, not even. I would say maybe in elementary school, middle school, I was. High school, definitely not.
So you were chatting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. 100%. I am, my friends know I am a big yapper. So I was always just chatting with people. But now I feel like I am still very good at balancing my social life while also balancing my two jobs.
And who is helping you, or do you need help with navigating the brand deals?
I do have a manager, and I love her. She's amazing, and she is my right hand. Mm-hmm. So she's always helping with responding to my management email and responding on those sides of the brands and the deals and the payments and everything like that.
So for anyone listening who is considering getting a manager or switching managers, what are some things they should look for in a good manager for a creator?
Someone who is very dedicated to their role and their clients. I think a lot of people who do have management can agree with me on that, that it just comes down to dedication at the end of the day, how much they look at you, how much time they're able to dedicate to you, and also the kind of relationships that they have with brands. That speaks volumes for how agency should be.
Mm-hmm. So, Sarai, correct me if I'm wrong. It sounds like Tanya's relationship with her manager is the same with your agent, right? As an artist, right? That is the agent really focused on you? Do they have those relationships?
So it's a little different. A manager kind of manages that aspect of, you know, managing the whole business. But I have different layers. Like I have an agent mm-hmm. that I work with for my commercial and editorial gigs. I work with a publicist who handles my media. So it's a little different. I think managers tend to, you know, manage other types of business for me. So it wouldn't be mm-hmm. along the same realm.
So you really have a full team.
Almost, yeah.
Well, what's missing? Like, what's the other layer?
Oh my God. I think I need someone managing my day-to-day schedule. I'm managing 3 schedules on my own. So I think for me to have a full team would be someone handling my social media and my calendars and just kind of keeping me up to par in that aspect. Because my publicist is managing my media mm-hmm. and my publicity, and then my agent is handling my actual work.
Right. So it sounds like you need a personal assistant for the calendar. Yes. And then you also need a social media manager for the content.
Correct.
All right. So let's talk about, they call it opportunity cost. Right? Like, what are you missing out on by not having these two people in your team?
I think taking away my focus from actually creating. Mm-hmm. People don't realize that when you're managing all that other stuff, mm-hmm. it kind of takes, it puts a lot on the person, and you don't want to have the burnout. The burnout does exist. Mm-hmm. You don't want the burnout. I think that's a great advice to give to people about the burnout, because that does really exist. So you get to this point where you're exhausted and you don't want to do anything, and then that affects your actual career mm-hmm. and actually you performing. So
that's an incredible point. The volume of work when as a creator, you have the creator job, but then you also, you know, like you said, have your clients. And Tanya, you have the day job and your creator work. When you're stretched so thin, you're not making your best work. You're not feeling your most joy, right? So it's, this tug of war of like, what do I have the resources to hire extra people? But if I don't hire extra people, what am I losing?
Right.
Right. So how often do you have this conversation with yourself in your head, Sarai?
All the time as of lately. All the time as of lately, as I'm growing as an individual, as I'm growing mm-hmm. as a brand. I was just saying this to my publicist, how great this investment has been. You know, she's highlighting the best of me. But I just think it takes steps, you know, you talking yourself through to creating that investment, because, you know, you don't want to overly invest in yourself because you do have to bring home to your family. So, I mean, these are conversations that people do need to have with themselves. But as you're growing, they're essential to your growth. So it's kind of like, you know, how do I explain that? Is it a double-edged sword? Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think there's the universe presents the right answer at the time that you need it, right? But I do think it's important that we're always challenging ourselves to ask the questions.
It's like pulling the trigger. Like, you're just like, do I just do it?
Well,
I
mean, it's the same as deciding to leave insurance.
Right.
Right? You knew.
You just have to, right? You know.
So the last topic I want to talk about before we move to our fun game to conclude the episode is this pressure to post, like, quantity-wise. So, Tanya, I'm exhausted thinking about living in your shoes, honestly, because I think the pressures are so intense for a creator. Right? You're always thinking about, like, how is this action I take today going to impact my future brand deals and the value in the marketplace? So what is your strategy for how frequently to post? And, you know, what kind of, like, you know, angel devil because you have on your shoulder as you're walking yourself through, like, how to spend your time?
Let me tell you, it's really hard to be able to post as much as you do. For TikTok, I aim to post like 3 to 5 times a day. Instagram, I post at least once a day.
Wow. Wait, did we all hear that? Can we just press pause? Say it one more time.
3 to 5 times a day on TikTok alone. Mm-hmm. And then Instagram, I post at least once a day, and also keeping up with how many stories you post. And then I have multiple different Instagram accounts, which I post on almost every single day.
Wait, how many Instagram accounts?
3, 4.
Okay, 4 different, like, paths for storytelling.
Yes.
Plus the TikTok.
Plus the YouTube. Plus the YouTube.
Okay, plus the YouTube.
Yeah.
So YouTube shorts or, like, full? Both. Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Do you vlog all day long?
I vlog weeks of, like, brand events. So I'll vlog a week in my life of, like, brand events, for example. Exactly. So
getting anxiety.
Okay, I'm, like, actually okay, this is taking my breath away, Tanya. In your peer group, like, you know, Jess, your other peers, is this what's happening? This is the volume you're playing with?
I would say it ranges from creator to creator. Some creators don't post as much. Some post even more than me. Some post like maybe 10 times a day on TikTok. Mm-hmm. So it really just depends on who you're talking to. But I will say that every creator that I do come across is always very dedicated to how many times that they post. Yeah. They pick a number and they stick to it. Because at the end of the day, social media is the dedication that you put towards yourself.
Okay, so how do we measure, like, we talked with Soraya about, like, what is she missing out on by not having that personal assistant and that social media? Right. So how were you able to kind of create this goal for yourself? What were you looking at metric-wise or impact-wise to realize this is the volume of work I need to be creating?
It honestly depends. Depending on how many, let's say, brand events I'm going to in a week, or if I'm traveling, then it's like my content for the day increases. On a day-to-day basis, it's normally maybe like 3 times a day. And it fully just depends on everything that I want to shoot, everything that I want to talk about, and then also starting new series. That takes up a lot of time, a lot of planning. So it just depends on exactly what I'm aiming for in that day or that week or that month.
Okay. My head really is spinning because it is such an incredible volume of work. And this is exactly, I guess, when you have this team, they will be like telling you what to do and then they can edit. Are you doing your own editing,
right, yes, Tanya? I do all my editing. I do my planning.
Come on over. We got you.
So I said that my manager just manages my inbox and just honestly planning out my schedule in terms of like what I have to go to when and what day. But in terms of planning my content, editing my content, I would say I'm editing all the time.
Oh, right. So the subway rides, the lunch breaks, the waiting in the waiting room at the dentist's office.
Exactly.
You are editing or responding to comments. And
pretty much.
Okay. So I'm like, my heart's racing. I'm trying to understand, like, why do I always get so overwhelmed by the job of a creator? Like, I mean, we create a lot of volume of content at our agency, but I don't do it alone, right? And I've never done it. There's never been one day where, like, Jody Katz herself can make these things. I always needed a team. What will it take, or what will you be looking for as a milestone of, like, I need to hire an editor, or I need to hire someone to film me? Like, what are you looking for to know when you need to expand your team?
I would say, as of right now, I'm not looking to expand my team, but if I do find the right person with the right type A mentality of me, then perhaps I would consider bringing them on as, let's say, an editor. But for me right now, it's like, if I want something done, I will do it myself.
Okay, control. You want control.
Exactly.
Is it scary for you to think about giving up control?
Absolutely, 100%, okay, yes.
Why?
That's a very hard question. I just like knowing exactly what is happening when and what is, like, what is happening in terms of, like, let's say the editing. I want to make sure that it is cut down to the right millisecond. So I don't trust anyone to do that until I find the right person who's on the same page as me.
And do you think that person's out there?
Yeah, 100%. 100%, yes.
Okay. So I'm still, my heart's racing because you have that full-time job still. Are you tired?
My friends would think I am, but I actually run on a lot of caffeine. My friends are here right now and they know how much coffee and matcha I drink. So with that, no. But if I cut down on the caffeine, then yes, absolutely.
Okay, Sarai, so now we need to go back to this, to go back to what we were just talking about with you. So she's living it. She's living this volume story. Solo.
Yes. Right?
Can you imagine yourself giving up control? Like right now, Tanya's not ready to give up control. Can you?
I totally understand why she's not giving up control because this is her baby.
Yeah.
And she's not ready to do that yet. And she's trying to get out of a certain situation, which she still has her full-time job. Mm-hmm. So she's like in it where I was 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. So she actually can't give up control yet. When things start to ease up a little bit, then that's when she'll feel like she can give up control, because I think I have 10 years on you and I just started giving up control. So I totally understand her headspace. I don't know how she's doing, but it's a lot that she's doing. But I can relate because I was doing a lot at
right.
that
so
age.
Your thinking is when Tanya's, we're speaking about you like you're not here, but I'm truly trying to pick this apart. When Tanya's income becomes really reliable and rhythmic.
Correct.
On the content side, you think
that's when she'll start giving up control. Because right now, it's still not consistent.
Do you agree, Tanya?
Kind of, but more so not really. I've been doing content for almost 6 years now. And I do say that my income is pretty consistent with it. It's just the fact that, like you said, it's my baby. And I want to make sure that you know how people say that if I want it done right, I'll do it myself?
Yes.
That's exactly my mentality.
Okay.
But what I'm saying is it probably won't be, you probably don't think it will be still consistent if you release control.
Perhaps, yes.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Right.
Slightly, yeah.
When you're daydreaming about your future dreams as a creator, and I have no doubt you're going to reach them, like if anyone is, you are there kind of like idols and mentors in this space that you look up to?
Yeah, absolutely. I can name one. Kate Bartlett is one of my all-time favorite creators. She came from almost like nothing. She grew up in Florida, and now she's such a successful fashion and beauty creator. And I have been following her for, I want to say, around 5 years. Mm-hmm. And she was honestly my inspiration to get more into fashion.
And have you met her?
No, I have not, but I have met several of her friends at influencer events, so hoping to meet her soon.
And have you DM'd with her?
No, I have not.
Okay. Well, maybe
I'm trying to think. Maybe I have. No, I don't think so.
Let's make this happen.
Yeah.
Meeting our idols is really important, right? Because my guess is she would want to give you advice when you need it.
And, yeah, absolutely. I would love to.
It's a wonderful – our industry is so wonderful in the fact that, like, people do want to help each other.
Yes. I will agree that especially in New York, people are very supportive. I've talked to people who are not from New York, and they – don't feel that way at all in terms of where they're from, where it's more competitive, everyone gatekeeps. And of course, in New York, there are people who gatekeep everything. But for the most part, I find that people are very, very supportive.
We could talk about this all night long, but I think we should switch to our game, which is the end of our episode today. We'll close out our 300th episode. This is a fun game. There's no right or wrong answers. It's called Runway or Run Away. So you both mentioned Fashion Week as part of your career journey. We thought we'd play a fun game. So we'll give you a Fashion Week related activity, gig, or event. You're going to have to decide runway or runaway. Runway means it's a real, realistic Fashion Week activity and you do it or you have done it. Run away, too much, too fake, or never again. Okay? Ready to have some fun?
Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Sorry, we're going to start with you. Doing 12 models hair backstage with one flat iron, one broken diffuser, and zero outlets. Is this a runway or runaway?
Runaway.
Have you been in that situation?
We can't be in that situation. Right. Mm-hmm. It's just not realistic. We need irons, and that's just not a go. There has been situations where they had to make it work and make plugs and make it work. Mm-hmm. The production actually is there for that specific reason.
Tanya, attending a secret influencer mixer in a dark Soho basement, and no one's talking to each other. They're just vlogging. Is this a runway or runaway?
run away, but unfortunately I have been in that situation.
Tell us.
I don't even know what to tell. It was not perhaps a basement, but it was a very dark room and there were few creators there and no one really wanted to talk to each other, and I stayed for roughly 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. So
when you go to an event, you actually want to make friends.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Networking is part of the best parts of being an influencer.
Yeah, I think it's the best part of our industry is getting to meet people.
Yes, right. It's absolutely.
The most fun. Have you ever been in a situation like that, Sarai?
No, I haven't. But I do meet people all the time, so it's like, to me, it's like a second nature. Mm-hmm. I'm constantly meeting people.
Okay, I have one for you. This is a good one. Being booked for a 7 a.m. call time, but no one shows up until noon. No one else shows up until noon. Is that a runway or runaway?
That's happened so many times.
It has?
Yes. It's like,
so you're the person who's responsible?
I'm always the person that's responsible. I feel like that's like a common thing, and you just kind of have to kind of channel something else. Mm-hmm. We actually, you know, had that recently happen before we came here. So it seems, you know, things like this happen all the time.
That sounds like a good window to make content, respond to DMs when you're waiting around for people to show up.
Right. That's exactly when I responded to all the emails and all the content that I needed to respond when I was just waiting around.
Yeah.
Can I add something to that?
Yeah, please.
I have done modeling in the past, and if I was your client, I would have shown up at 7 a.m. Aww, let me tell you, I would have shown up at 6:55 a.m.
Okay, let's do this one, Tanya. Getting glammed in the back of a moving SUV between meetings or events. Is this a runway or a runaway? You're looking at me. You have a story.
Runaway. I honestly could never do that. I would rather be glammed up. And I have done this for, especially during New York Fashion Week. I will wake up at sometimes 3 a.m., 4 a.m., do my full face of makeup, which has to last until maybe 11 p.m., midnight. But I can never do it other than my vanity. Like, no other spot, ever.
You know, it's interesting. I was talking with a friend about influencer events where it's for a skincare brand and they want the influencers to actually, like, experience the skincare, but they're not telling the influencers to come with a clean face. So influencers show up to an event ready for the day because you're probably going to three or more later. And then you're in this situation where you actually like can't test the product out. Have you been in that type of situation before?
Yes, all the time. But I feel like the team is always very supportive. They're like, you can try the products on the back of your hand, which ultimately has the same effect. You still get the idea of how the product is.
Yep.
And it's also testing out to see if it's safe for your skin.
Right, right.
So I love doing that also. There have been points where I would have that masterclass, let's say at the very end of my day. Mm-hmm. So it's like no more events after that. I always carry makeup wipes in my bag. Mm-hmm. So just in case, it's there.
Okay, Sarai, let's do this last one. Shooting TikToks mid runway with a ring light clipped to your belt. Is this a runway or runaway?
I'm going to say runway, even though I specifically don't do that.
But you see it happening around
you. I see it happening.
Mm-hmm. This has been so much fun. We could talk for hours. I'm going to cut us off here. Thank you so much for being part of the show, but also being our 300th episode.
Woo! I'm so happy about that.
Thank you so much
for having us. Thank you, everybody, for such a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Where Brains Meet Beauty with Jodi Katz. Tune in again for more authentic conversations with beauty leaders.